think.
Hey!
There we go.
What's up, everybody?
It's game time.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Cocktails. It is March Madness up in this bitch. And my name is Jason.
And I am Zenobia.
What's up, sis?
What's up? And here on Lights, Camera, Cocktails, we pair amazing drinks.
Oh, yes. Amazing drinks today.
With amazing movies.
Yes. And we have both for you today.
Today.
Hi, sis. How you been?
It has been.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry to everybody for our Black History Month episodes coming out super late.
Yes, you guys, we apologize.
I had a Black History February of a hydroplaning car that hit a center divider and was totaled to buying a new car to being homeless for a week so that they could fix my bathroom.
All the things. Like...
So, yes, I've been wanting to get that off my 1980s.
Your chest, your 1986 hands across.
Hands across America. Okay, so, March Madness.
We got a hell of a movie for you today. We're doing Teen Wolf. If y'all don't know, it is an amazing 80s basketball movie.
Amazingly bad.
Amazing.
Basketball. It's bad basketball.
Bad basketball, yes. The movie is fantastic, though. We don't do bad movies.
We don't do bad movies. Just bad basketball movies.
Bad basketball. We'll get into all of that. It is part of the drinking game.
Okay, so. I don't know about you, but.
I'm ready. I'm so ready.
I'm ready to drink.
That's nice.
Thank you.
That's a new one.
Okay, so. If you've seen this movie. Then you know. That one of the games the style plays is, what is it like?
It's a hat, hat game.
Jello titties. That's
what I'm calling. Yes, and we have both on this podcast.
Titties.
Mine don't.
We good, that's a good thing. So we are drinking Lime Jello shots. Just like in the movie. And... we are drinking beer from a keg.
From a keg.
Which was a adventure.
A chore. Yeah,
I am definitely Styles on that because
yes.
I picked this drink and beer and then I couldn't find a pony keg. So I called about three places and they're like, no, bitch, we don't do that. And I was like, well, you know what? I'm just going to just buy some beer.
Here. We don't do any goddamn kegs.
But I went to my own personal Teen Wolf.
Called in the wolf. I ain't shaved, y'all. It's scratchy. Oh, my God.
And he went and found us a keg.
Never say die.
Never say die. So we are drinking Heineken and taking lime Jello shots.
Yes. It's one of my favorite scenes in the movie. So if y'all don't know, Styles has a bowl of Jello, and he brings it to a character named Chubby, who likes food, and he says, Chubby,
you have to eat this whole bowl of Jello.
Well, what do I have to do?
Hold the Jello!
And Rhonda's like, well, what do I have to do? Hold the Jello! It pours it right down her shirt.
We're gonna keep 80s it out. People. We're gonna keep it out of my shirt tonight.
But, yes. It might go on mine. I don't know.
Okay, so this is how you make a lime Jello shot. This is the Zenobia way because there is multiple ways you can make this.
It smells good.
So you go out and you're gonna have to ask someone in the store because I'm sure you don't know where to get Jello in the grocery store because I can't ever find it. So I asked somebody. I got lime Jello, a box, and so you do a cup of boiling hot water, and then you're gonna stir in the Jello mixture. And then you're going to put two cups of boiling water and you're going to put two cups of cold Malibu. So I put it in a measuring glass. I threw some ice cubes in it and I stuck it in the freezer. And then I poured it in there. And then I bought the little 2 ounce little plastic cups and I poured them in there and they sat in the refrigerator. So we ate some of these on St. Patrick's Day with my friends.
Yes, we did.
When we went to go see Chicago. And so that was a great...
Oh, I wasn't there on that day.
You weren't. But I brought it the next day.
Yeah, the next day we had girls' brunch.
We had girls' brunch, and I brought them because there's a lot of them. So after you do that, so what you need to do for your Jell-O shot is you cheers it, and then you kind of use your finger or something to...
I use my tongue, but...
Break it up, and then cheers.
Cheers.
Bottoms up. Oh, yeah, drop them.
So good.
And that's
so
good. How you make lime Jell-O shots. I think that Malibu.
It's fantastic.
Is a good mixture.
And you do a good consistency.
Because a lot of people use vodka.
Yeah.
Or flavored vodka, which if you want to get fancy. But to me, I know that all you need is something really strong and flavorful. And I think that the Malibu is what does it. So that's why I always use
Malibu
it.
Goes better with fruit in the first place, and this has a lime taste to it.
It does. Yeah. So I wasn't sure.
How many you got?
I got so many.
Okay. I want to take it before it starts to like melt. So I'm going to take one
more. No, I put ice in here. So
we go.
It is chilled. And so once you have taken your Jell-O shot, you're going to fill up your mug with or solo cup. If you're
or red solo cup.
To your cake of beer. And so since our pony cake is a Heineken, that is what we're drinking.
We're getting fucked up quick. Let's go.
Cheers.
Heineken ain't bad.
Because
I'll take it.
Because I didn't know we were going to do a cake because I couldn't find one. I didn't bring my mug. But Jason has his.
I do.
Groom's mug.
My groom's mug.
I have a mug and it says groomsmaid on it.
Yes, it does.
Because you're the best. Okay. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
For a little her story on Jell-O shots.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. I figured it was either that or the history on kegs.
Oh, fuck. I didn't even think about that.
There's other keg movies.
Okay.
There's not too many Jell-O shot movies.
That's true. You're so right. Okay, so do you know a guy named Tom Lear?
No.
Me neither. Okay. So are you ready to go back in our drunken time machine?
Talk to me.
What time period do you think we're going to?
For a Jell-O shot, I'm going to go with the 50s, 1950s.
You're correct.
Fuck yeah!
Okay. Tom Lear was a musician, songwriter, mathematician, and he was also... Okay.
I'm going to do this through your whole story. Let's go.
Okay, let's go, let's go. Okay, so...
I can, but there's too much shit around.
And he was a satire, so, like, singer. So he would, like, make songs about, like, the elemental chart. Like, the periodic table of...
Okay.
So he had a song like that that was, like, a good way to remember it. I'm sure a lot of people in school...
Sure.
...use that.
I remember the Animaniacs, like, Song of the Countries.
Like. It's kind of like that. It's exactly kind of like that. Okay. So, this guy, in the 60s, by this time, he had graduated Harvard.
Harvard.
He was a smart man. He was a mathematician.
Gotcha.
He had had a number one hit with doing these, like, kind of songs. And then he got drafted into the Army.
Like you do.
Like you do. And so, like, his songs were big from, like, the 50s to the 60s, I guess. So, in 1955 through 1957, he was drafted.
Okay.
And so, what happened, he was a smart guy. He was a fun guy. And, like, most Army people...
They like to drink.
They love to drink.
I knew you were going there. I'm sorry.
And so, one day, they got invited to a party on a base in D.C. And there was no alcoholic drinks allowed on base. So he went home with one of his friends and they were like, they said drinks, right? So they experimented with one of the big things in the 40s and 50s, Jell-O. And they did gin and they did vodka, they did whiskey, and they experimented with a bunch of these things to try to figure out which one would be the best. They came up with vodka and orange Jell-O was the best. We are not eating that today, but that is what they found out was
maybe to be our Apollo 13 episode would have been, but like
maybe. Yeah. So once they did that, they made their Jell-O. They went to the base.
Okay.
They went to the dude at the front who lets you in and out. They're like, what you got? They opened it up, and it was just a bunch of Jell-O. They're like, okay, cool.
Gotcha, go bitch.
Go on in. And they had a ball at that fucking party.
Fuck yeah.
So that is supposed to be the legend, the history of where Jell-O shots came from.
That's fantastic.
So it came from there.
Military funding, honey.
And you know how things back in ye olden days took a lot longer than they do today.
To like travel?
To travel. Okay. So, you know, like, you know, today someone can make a TikTok about it. It goes viral and we're all eating Tide and Pods.
All of a sudden, you
know. You know, yeah. That's how we're doing a cinnamon challenge or whatever. So that is kind of what we deal with. But back then it took a lot longer. So sure. It wasn't until about the 80s that Jell-O shots started making its way into high school parties and college parties. And that's when it kind of became big. By the 2000s, no, like, Jell-O wasn't popular like it was in the previous decades, like the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, where people were making, like, disgusting food out of.
Oh, yeah, they were throwing, like, fruit and stuff
in them. Or whatever.
I mean, there's some fruit that you could throw in Jell-O and it's pretty good. Like, lime green Jell-O with some pineapple in it, that shit's good.
Well, I don't know, because I personally don't like Jell-O. I think it's...
There's always room for Jell-O.
It's the texture. It's the texture. But
why you shoot it. Okay.
I took one for the team today.
Does that mean those are all my Jell-O shots?
That means I've been trying to pass these out for a couple days.
How many did you make?
I made a box full. Oh, my God. Like, I couldn't...
So however many, like, the...
I should have counted. I don't know.
However many tablets the box makes.
Yeah.
I got you.
I went to the Pantages Theater with a bunch of them in my purse.
Passing them out to guests before they get in.
I passed them out to...
Hey, welcome to Pantages. Take a Jell-O shot.
I passed them out to the bartender of the bar we went to before we went...
No shit.
...to the theater. Yeah. He was hooking us up on drinks, so I was like, here, happy St. Patrick's Day.
I like that.
I, like, slid it to him. So by the 2000s, Jell-O was not the business.
Mm.
And so practically people stopped making them. And now we see them at clubs and bars.
Yeah.
I see them at clubs and bars.
Go to Vegas, see if you don't find some Jell-O shots.
Dude, I went to Dave & Buster's like a week ago because my cousin just got a job there. And so I was coming to support with my friend. And she bought me a Jell-O shot and came out of like a syringe.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh.
That's like, I get it. It's easier to just like push a syringe. But like half the fun of Jell-O shots is getting it out.
Well,
you know what I mean?
For a person who doesn't like Jell-O, it was an easier way.
But most people love Jell-O. Like, you're an exception on that one.
I'm sorry.
You know what I mean? And also, you can, like, get sexy with it if you're, like, out there, like, with, like, people that you're attracted to and shit. Like, that's what we used to do.
Yeah.
You're going to teach my kids how to make Jell-O shots?
Yeah, I make really good ones. You just had it. The Malibu.
It was really good.
The Malibu is the key.
Malibu is better than vodka when it comes to Jell-O shots.
It really is. And it just is. It covers the alcohol taste. It just adds more spice.
And that's kind of the point of Jell-O shots to a certain respect.
Yeah.
Is like, you do it because people don't like taking shots.
I've had bad ones where it was like woo.
Yeah, I've had those.
Where you're like, this came out of a plastic tub.
Oh, college.
So, yeah, that's a more of an adult Jell-O shot, I feel like. So, yeah, that's the history on Jell-O shots.
Jell-O shots. I like it very much.
I didn't think
I took two. I feel pretty good.
I didn't think.
Shit.
I took two, too.
You're so much better at this than me.
I'm trying my very best.
Proud of you.
Okay, because I made an espresso martini before we went on.
Yeah, you did. I should have had my coffee. That's my bad.
You don't need no coffee.
I always need my coffee.
Okay, so I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the motherfucking drinking game. Yes. Okay, so our drinking game, Getting Smashed with Smashley, is a Getting Smashed with Jason, isn't it?
Yeah, Smashley has work.
Yeah, we're doing this really early in the day, work. You guys.
We're doing it very early because
it's like 4 o'clock for us.
I got work tomorrow.
You do. I'm
early,
off tomorrow.
And we can't be drinking till 1 in the morning.
That's why I kept it semi-simple.
But day beers, it's fine.
Yeah, beer.
Day beers and lunch Jell-O, let's go.
Yes. What's more high school than Jell-O shots and beer?
So sadly, Ashley is not in the building. But maybe she'll be here by the end. We don't know.
It's a sad burr, burr, burr.
But she did create this drinking game for us. Mm-hmm. Overly efficient Smashley.
Always.
Like she does.
You guys don't even understand.
And so I only made minor alterations.
All right, I'm ready to drink.
All right. Let's see what she said.
What'd she say?
What she said was, go get smashed with Smashley.
We're doing it. Not with you, but for you.
She said, take a sip. Mm-hmm. With these ones, you kind of got to take a drink. Every time you hear the sound effect of a heartbeat. Which there's a lot of that, yeah.
Yep.
Every time that he's like looking in the mirror, it's like, don't change. Don't change.
Okay.
Throwing water on his face. You wouldn't happen to have a marker on you, would you, Mr. Howard?
He's like, no.
Fuck.
Yep, okay, I like that.
Wolf, when he's in the fucking classroom, mm-hmm. freaking out, mm-hmm. seeing this bag lady fingernails.
Those are the creepiest, dirty ass.
They're so bad.
Ew.
I mean, at so good simultaneously. We'll talk about our makeup artist. Mm. Take a simp every time Scotty gives someone the wolf eyes.
Is that the glowing red?
Yes. Like, or like when he's looking at Mick before he realizes it. When they're fighting over the ball, he's like, forget it, dork. He's like, ah.
Give me a keg of beer.
A keg of beer. That's what I think of. Okay.
And these.
Yeah, and these. It was like some donuts or some
powdered donuts. Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's a good one.
That's a good one. I like that. Take a sip every time Scott complains about his life being so average, which he does. He's kind of a little Debbie Downer at first.
I'm sick of being so average. And it's not just basketball. It's this school. It's this town. It's everything.
I feel like that is such an 80s trope
mm-hmm.
that it works. Or maybe it's just a Michael J. Fox trope.
I got a bad outside hook shot. I got a $5 haircut. I mean, I have problems. I don't need this one.
Yeah.
Is there anything wrong with me? You should shower after basketball games.
I do.
There's nothing wrong with you.
You just smell like a stinky boy.
I wonder if that's like a hint to like you smell like a wet dog because he's turning into the wolf and he doesn't realize it.
I just thought it because, you know, teenage boys stink. I just thought.
True. Take a sip or a drink every time Pamela performs bad acting. You can murder my family.
You can murder my family. You can ravage my body. But I beg you, with all that is decent and holy, don't destroy my plantation.
You can ravage my body.
But don't you burn down my plantation. Look.
Beautiful, darling.
Whatever this fake on with the wind shit is, burn that stupid bitch's plantation down. Fuck her. Don't ravish her body because that's just wrong. But no, burn that but, shit down.
You know, Scotty already did.
And burn down that plantation.
No wolf, no play.
No wolf, no play. Yeah. Oh.
She's so bad.
She is super. I fucking hate her.
She sucks. Like, we'll get into
that. I don't know who did that. To her, like, what made her that way? But like, fuck you, bitch.
On the flip side, take a drink every time Scotty doesn't realize that Boof likes him. There's a bit of that.
I think he does.
I think he does.
He just doesn't want.
He just doesn't want to pursue her because he's known her since they were kids. Which
I've been there.
We can get into it now. Like Scott, in my opinion, Boof is way finer than Pamela Wells.
I mean, Pamela is very 80s.
80s hot, sure. Mm-hmm.
That feathered big blonde hair.
We'll talk about it. I don't want to do it now.
Okay.
Take a drink or a simp. But simping is going to get you nowhere with these. Every time that Styles is trying to charm someone.
So every time.
So the boss sent me down here to pick up a keg of beer. Mm. I got plenty of bread.
And he's like, no.
There's a little
where's your ID, bitch?
For you.
You are 14. Get out of here.
Hey, Boof, how you doing? Say no. No. All right, great talking to you.
Yeah.
I love him.
He's like, don't, whatever he's coming over here.
Always.
We don't need that right now.
He's just like natural born entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the best way. I would be friends with Styles.
Mm-hmm.
I am friends with Styles.
Is that me?
You're my Styles.
I try. I would be the puppet master of getting people laid at a party. Definitely. Yeah.
And I'm about it. I'm here for it. Throw me in a closet.
Okay.
take a drink every time Pamela turns down Scott. She does that a lot.
Until he becomes a wolf man.
He becomes a wolf. But then afterwards, too.
You mean was your boyfriend?
Is my boyfriend.
But, what about us?
What about us?
Well, this afternoon, in your dressing room.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, you see, the spring dance is coming up, and I
already told you, I'm going to the dance with Mick.
She turns him down again. He's like, well, what about us? What about us? I mean, you know, in your dressing room.
Yeah, I took you on a date, bitch.
Right.
I'm walking you to the door, like, you show me your titties.
She did more than that. She made him howl.
She did. Doesn't much, take much to make a high school boy howl, I'm sure.
What about a high school wolf?
I mean, he hasn't been touched, so.
That's his own fault. Boof wanted to.
She was trying to put out, and he wasn't trying
right?
to catch it.
Dumbass.
That's on him.
Dumas.
Dumas.
Take a drink every time Scott transforms into the wolf.
That happens a couple times.
It happens a couple of times. Absolutely.
Yeah. We have to have the transformation, right?
Yes. So there's the first one, which is in the bathroom in front of the mirror.
Okay.
That's the one where it actually shows him in stages.
Yeah.
Transforming. Like, forget it, Dad. I don't want to talk.
He's like, open the door, bitch.
Yeah.
Let me show you something.
That's the scene that we did.
Yeah.
The next one is when he's on the basketball court for the first time and they all like jump on him trying to get the ball. And he like jumps up.
When he shows Styles,
when he goes to the dance, definitely when he's hooking up with Pamela, you know, because he's Scotty at first, but he's howling by the time Mr. Thorne is getting to his car.
Yeah.
So you know he transformed right there. There's a number of them. I don't know about this one, but take a drink every time Styles is seen wearing sunglasses.
He does wear them a lot.
He does wear them a lot. That's true. That's kind of a hidden thing. Like, is he wearing them? Is he not wearing them? I'll take it. And this is my own kind of thing, because this is the basketball aspect of it.
Okay.
So Ashley wrote, take a drink every time Scott makes a basket, which is good. Because you pointed out this is bad basketball, take a drink every time Scott travels. This motherfucker travels.
He might as well just be holding on to the ball.
I don't know if y'all know, but Michael J. Fox is not a basketball player.
What?
That's not his sport of choice. He's a hell of a hockey player.
I thought that was his sport.
No, he's from Canada.
You're telling me that Michael J. Fox
wasn't doing all the basketball sequences? We'll get into that. But no, he was not always the wolf.
Oh, okay. True.
And he travels so much.
His shots.
There's so many times where he takes three steps instead of two. He like hops and does this like running thing before he bounces the ball.
They didn't ask him if he could play basketball.
No,
I did not read.
They
that
just knew that he.
They were like, you were in that
was in Family
show.
Ties,
you're
and
in that
the boy
show
could act.
That's being hit big.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Let's get you. No one never once asked, can this fool pass being a basketball player? Mm-mm. Even a high school basketball.
Even a high school basketball player. Take a drink anytime Scott is fouled. Because that's kind of the thing with that last game. It's like they're trying to put him out of commission.
Yeah.
It's like, what's so funny, dork?
What's so funny, dork? That's four fouls. One more, and you're out of there.
Mm-hmm. That's four fouls.
Just get
one more, and you're out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's a good one.
And a little filmmaker thing. Take a drink anytime a basketball sequence is reused.
They do that shit several times in the movie.
Like, I don't know how many times I can see Michael J. Fox make the exact same layup.
Because I'm sure that was the best take of all time.
It could be his best take. It could also be this was a low budget feature.
Yeah.
Like, they could have been running short on time during the day. Like, you see that in boxing movies a lot also.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's fun to notice. Like, I already saw him make that layup.
Yeah.
Don't bullshit me.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah. So, we're going to finish our first drink.
Ooh, okay.
When it lands on Scott's face.
It's not as bad as it looks.
Wait a minute, Dad.
You mean you knew about this? You knew about this and you didn't tell me?
I was hoping I wouldn't have to. Sometimes it skips a generation. I was hoping it would pass you by.
Well, Dad, it didn't pass me by. It landed on my face.
Okay. Well, it didn't pass me by, Dad. It landed on my face.
Okay.
That's a good one.
On
like
his
that.
Face. All right.
We'll finish our second drink when Teen Wolf plays his first game.
Oh, Teen Wolf, when he turns into.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll take that. I don't know what point in the movie that is, but it feels like those two are a little close.
Yeah, with other things.
I'm gonna veto that.
Oh, okay. What are you going to put in this place?
These waves are mine.
Oh.
Finish your second drink when Teen Wolf goes surfing.
Wait a minute. These waves are mine.
We'll all be planning out. That's what I would say.
Surfing USA.
Dude, yeah, car okay. Surfing? Fuck yeah.
It did look really cool.
Because that's something we haven't even talked about yet.
Look, it's right there.
He's literally surfing.
He's literally surfing right there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's like
that is the one thing I think about when I think of this movie.
Like, would you do it?
Get on top of a van?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I would do it too.
If I die, at least I go out.
Oh my god,
super cool.
I wouldn't be worried about dying. I think I'm athletic enough to where if I fell, it would hurt, but I could parkour my way out of it somehow.
I just don't want to hit my head.
That's the thing you got to worry about.
Yeah.
So you got to tuck and roll for sure.
Tuck and roll, Grandma.
Watch out for power lines.
Okay. And what else?
Finish your third and final drink
mm-hmm.
when an unexpected hot dog appears on screen.
Oh, I was like, they eat hot dogs?
No, they do not.
But there's a human hot dog.
There's a human hot dog. It's a little Easter egg.
Can I talk about that real quick?
Let's talk about it.
Since we're right here.
Or we'll tell you what. That is the motherfucking... Wait. What? What, you got something?
Every time...
Okay.
The principal comes after Scott.
Oh, yeah. Rusty fucking Thorn.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how long I have waited to get you right where I have you. You're never going to play basketball again. You know why? Because you're not going to be here anymore. That's why. You're out of here, Mr. Howard.
He is a rusty thorn in my thigh.
Yeah. Dude, I got paint. I got paint shit. I got bags. I got some weird fucking picnic basket cloth in front of me. And you're going to throw a roll of tape in my hand. What an asshole.
Fuck that, dude. But yeah, that's all I got. Yeah, so that is
the motherfucking drinking game. Yes, sir.
And smash responsibly.
Smash responsibly, y'all.
But okay, so the dick. And since we're here.
Yes.
So if you go to the end of the movie, there is a shot when Scott runs up to his dad and jumps into his dad's arms like, yes. I did it. And if you look in the top left corner, there is a person. Some people say it's a woman, and some people say it's a man.
What?
I've been reading a bunch of shit all week about this. And you can see that their pants is down, and then they're like cheering, yes,
mm-hmm.
The game. And then they pull their shirt down over their
yes, they do.
area, and they zip it up. And they keep it going. So some people say that it is a woman whose pants were too tight. She unzipped them and then she stood up and realized that they were. But it does look semi flesh covered.
Yeah, no. Pretty sure that's a penis.
I'm not confirming or denying, but there is a dick in this movie. It is what a lot of people think about when they think about Teen Wolf.
Yes, absolutely. Hilarious.
Okay, so are you ready for them stats?
Hit me with your best shot.
Okay, so this movie dropped August 23rd, 1985, baby.
Where were you?
Not born. Not alive. But I don't know when I watched this movie, but I was not. The budget for this movie, I read just two things. I read that it was $4 million, and I read that it was $1 million.
I would say $1 million.
And that makes more sense to me. So $1 million.
Yeah.
This
don't feel like a $4 million movie.
Would be about $4 million to make today.
Today, $4 million today. Gets you Get Out.
Yeah. So this movie made $4 million. It was $1 million to make,
uh-huh,
and was $4 million
yeah,
in today's.
Because like while they were filming this, they were filming Back to the Future down mm-hmm. the street in Pasadena.
Oh, we will get to it. Okay. I got all the tea.
Yeah.
It made $33 million, which in 2024 money is about over $96 million.
Fuck yeah. So they damn near made 100-fold.
There's a million reasons why it made that much money, but we'll get to it.
They turned every dollar into $100.
Good for them. What they really did was this movie was made and ready to be distributed in 1984.
Wait, 1994?
84.
Okay.
And what happened was they heard that there was this little movie being made down the street that eventually was starring Michael J. Fox
mm-hmm.
called, I don't even know if you've ever heard of it, but it's called Back to the Future.
Oh my God.
And so they wanted to wait for this Steven Spielberg movie to come out before they brought this movie out. And even on the poster, it says, Michael J. Fox, Back from the Future in this new comedy. So they used the momentum.
They slingshotted.
Yes.
Shake and bake style.
They sure did.
Hey.
And that's why it ended up
fucking
making it.
Fucking wicked smart.
Wicked smart. And so that is what ended up happening with it making so much money, is they just kind of was like, you remember that dude from Back to the Future and Family Ties? He's on this shit now.
Okay.
So the Rotten Tomatoes critics, 46%.
Motherfuckers.
I knew you were going to be upset.
Of course I'm going to be upset. They don't know a good movie if it landed on their face.
Oh my God.
Like the way I did that?
I did. So Rotten Tomatoes for audience is 52%. No?
No. No.
The ZZ Fresh is about 82%.
There you go.
I think it's a good, fun 80s movie.
It's a good, fun 80s movie.
You gotta have to see it for the 80s because there are some things in this movie, in words in this movie, that we don't use today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so you gotta have
40 years ago.
So, yes, you can't really be mad.
That's what beer does to you.
I know. I was like, I feel it already coming.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, you know, you're going to have to look at when you think about this movie. It's that it was 1985.
84. What do you want, Teen Wolf?
Oh, we have our own Teen Wolf here.
Come here. You want to hang out? Come here.
Show the world who we got in the house.
All right, boys. So if you were hearing some snoring earlier.
It's not us.
It's not us.
Or Smash.
It's not Smash. It is Milo. Everybody meet Milo. He has come to live with us.
Hi, Milo.
And he's my buddy.
He is our buddy.
But he's an angry old man.
He's an angry old man.
Hear the pitter-patter of little feet or the snoring that sounds like a pig with hair. It is my dude.
Yeah.
Go play.
You're a good boy.
He's a good boy.
So, yeah.
And we're going to make him comfortable and happy in this home.
Ooh. Oh,
well, you got to let me.
So we have a new homie in the house. In the house. So, yeah.
He's come to chill.
What is the J joint?
I feel like 1.85 is the number. Another summer.
Okay.
Critics ain't getting no dumber. Honestly, like, I'm aware that there are hiccups in this movie. There's a dick shot in this movie. They reuse some basketball sequences in this movie. But at the same time, the story is great. Michael J. Fox is fantastic, as he always is. I adore Boof's character. I think that Styles is one of the great characters in 80s cinema.
He is very fun. I would have totally wanted to date him in high school.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I would have wanted to befriend him in high school. And I love an underdog story. And I know you don't love it, but I love the soundtrack. Or I should say the song at the end, the montage song, Win in the End by Mark Safin.
Okay, yes.
I love that song.
Yes.
It's on my workout playlist.
Can you listen to all of the music, like all of the...
Well, a lot of it is more tones rather than like a soundtrack.
It's weird. It gives me feels that I don't really appreciate.
It suits the story.
I don't know. I just don't... I don't know.
It's just... It's like Jason Segel in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. There's no soundtrack. It's just dark, ominous tones.
I'm not saying...
The masturbating dog killer is on the loose again.
I'm not saying that the music is bad, but I don't like it.
Okay. And that's fair.
Yes.
I love the song.
Yes. Win in the okay, end. That's the one that and the Big Bad Wolf. are like the two songs that like give me good feels.
Okay,
but just the music in the background.
Well, it's supposed to feel like very werewolfy and very like small towny.
Nope, I don't. Nope. That's not what I feel.
Okay. What do you feel?
I don't know.
Thriller vibes?
No, I would like the Thriller vibes.
Okay. You do like your Murderino stuff.
I would have liked the Thriller vibes, but I guess they were not trying to make this a real scary movie. It's like a fun teen movie.
Yeah. Exactly.
Whatever. Don't come for me.
I'm not coming for
don't
you.
Don't come for me.
Coming for the movie.
Okay. So that's them stats.
That's them stats.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we got to get into this movie, huh?
Let's get while the getting's good.
I got a fun fact for you.
What's that?
I didn't do any research on our director. That's my bad.
That is your bad.
That is my bad.
I personally don't really do much director.
So hear me out. This movie is directed by Rod Daniel, and he did do Home Alone 4.
Saving grace. Shut up.
He did The Super with Joe Pesci. You remember that one?
Yes.
Okay. He did Like Father, Like Son, the 80s version with Kurt Cameron and Dudley Moore.
No.
You don't like it?
I don't know that one.
What about Beethoven 2nd?
I've seen that. Yeah.
Okay.
You're killing me. I do have a couple things.
Well, this is Rod Daniels. Like, he's a journeyman director. He has Teen Wolf. Teen Wolf is his biggest movie. And Teen Wolf was a fantastic movie.
39 years ago.
40 years ago, yes. Like, he retired. He has since passed on. Mm. He passed away on April 16th, 2016.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. He was 84. So he had a long, good life.
But for this movie, though.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, 73. I mixed up decades.
Okay.
I will say there is one thing that I can pair with this movie and with our lead character, and that is that Mr. Rod Daniels passed away of Parkinson's disease.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, if you guys don't that is the same affliction that Michael J. Fox suffers from to this day.
He does. But Rod.
Mm.
To get this movie, the producers had interviews for the directors.
Mm.
Auditions, you should say. And
good, let them directors audition. I'm sick of auditioning.
The main question that they asked them was, what is this movie about? And most people were like, it's about a teen turning into a wolf.
No. Or
it's about a teenager who is dealing with hormones. Whatever. But Rod, he was like, it's a story about a father and a son.
Nice.
And what connects them and what, you know, brings them together. And he got the job.
There you go.
Off of that, he got it immediately.
And I love the father.
Yeah, he is a great character. You can't deny that what he does for Scott helps him. You know, he gets a little radical, but then it brings him back.
He gives them the Spider-Man speech. Yep. With great power comes great responsibility.
And he was right.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Also, Rod said that there is hours of footage that is in a vault that'll never be seen by the light of day. Of this team and them trying to play basketball. It was so horrible.
Oh, that these my fuckers, God. He was just like,
I think that the sweat that you see on them is not like, you know, a Mr. Girl who's like, come on, let me just... No, I think that's real because he kept going, again, again, again. What are you doing? Catch the ball. Can you make it look like you can shoot? Like,
It's trash. So it was so bad. He said, you'll never see. So we see the best of.
Well, that's why they shoot the ball. Then they cut to the ball going in the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Chubby throwing the hook shot is fantastic.
I feel like they show them just shooting.
Uh-huh.
And then they cut to someone like you who's on set really making the shot.
There you go.
They're like, Jason, you can make this, right?
Yes. We had to do that recently.
Ooh.
For Abbott Elementary.
You had, did you?
I did not get to make the shot. I wanted to.
Because.
And it should have been me because that's my department and it should have come from the art department.
Okay.
In the union world. But somebody else took the shot and that's all I'm going to say.
All I'm saying is, do you want to tell everybody what you do while you wait to go home? On set, are you allowed to say
that? I could tell them. Yeah, I shoot baskets at Abbott Elementary.
In his time, when he's waiting to go home, he's gotten off. He's going
I'm
home.
Just there.
He's in there just shooting,
listening to Mark Zaffron's "Win in the End." Well, Ashley's in a concept meeting, and I'm just dropping baskets left and right.
I did dying. Have we had a nice brunch yesterday with some of his coworkers, and they brought up that this fool is literally, that's where you can find Jason.
Don't give me a empty gym.
He's going to win in the end.
I am going to win in the end.
Oh.
100%.
Okay, another thing that I really like about Rod and the writers is when they decided to do this 1980s cool hip high school party. They really did go and interview teenagers of the 80s and ask them kind of what they did.
Do the extra leg work.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of these games were things that they like mentioned, but I also think Jello shots was something they mentioned.
I agree. Like, honestly, I love this party.
Yeah, it would
I would go to this party today. What I wouldn't go to is, even if I was in high school, a high school party today. Because a high school party today is this. Just
taking videos and, yeah, selfies. And, okay, well,
like
your last birthday party was a fun 80s party.
That was a fun 80s party. We had some drinking games.
We didn't do this. So.
I think this requires
a Styles like me.
A Styles and willing participants. You can't have any wallflowers.
We're getting older, and people are getting more conservative.
You're getting older. I'm getting better.
I'm staying the same, bitch. I'm not moving nowhere.
All right. They're getting older. We're getting better.
We're getting better. Cheers. So true.
I'm still down to eat a whole bowl of Jello.
You want a Jello shot? Here you go. Help a sister out. I got all
see
these
that?
Shots.
See that, Jason? That's called fuck around and find out.
And find out. Don't fuck around with me, because you'll find out. With the quickness. Ooh. Ooh! One little fucking sloop.
You think I haven't been to a party or two in my day?
I've been to your parties and twos. Okay.
That's tame, Jason.
But that's all I got on Rod since you had
sure. Yeah, absolutely. I had a few. Like, Rod did his thing.
He did.
We appreciate him, and we love this movie. And I like Beethoven second.
I can't remember the last time I seen it. So,
what?
Yeah, maybe I should rewatch it.
Maybe.
But
maybe after this drink.
This movie took 21 days to make.
That's quick. Actually, that's quick, but it's correct.
The studio wanted a cheap and quick movie to put out during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And Valley Girls had come out.
Okay.
There had been a bunch of vampire teen wolfy type of movies come out. So they were like, do that cheap, get it done.
This feels like my movie. Because like we shot our movie in 18 days,
mm-hmm.
but we're missing some things. And had we had the money at the time, we would have just kept going and finished in like 3 days.
Yeah, 21 days.
21, so, 22 days, yeah.
So, yeah. The only reason why they got Michael J. Fox is because the mom from Family Ties got pregnant.
Wait, what?
She got pregnant. The mom
on
Family Ties got pregnant. So they needed to take hiatus for
a couple weeks. It made Michael J. Fox available.
It made him available. And they were like,
got you.
Hey, you want to come be a wolf? And he was like, that sounds fun. I've been doing TV for a minute, and this is the way to break into film, which was back then a huge
deal. A big deal.
Now, yeah. Not so much.
Not so like much. Now, movie stars are coming back to TV.
Yeah. Now we have these long TV shows mm-hmm. that have, you know, Meryl Streep in it.
Yeah. Exactly. You got Yellowstone.
Yeah, you're getting Kevin Costner. You're getting Nicole Kidman.
And Matthew McConaughey.
True Detective. You're getting all of these things where these movie stars that we thought.
You got Peter Dinklage doing Game of Thrones.
Okay. I fucking love Game of Thrones. That's all I got to say. I love him too. And I love his character in the show. So that's perfect. So back then, it was a big thing to mm-hmm. go from TV to movie.
Yeah.
So Michael J. Fox was like,
fuck yeah. Absolutely.
Go. I think that
he knocked it out. I should mention that he is one of my favorite actors of all time.
Top five movies.
Secret of My Success.
I like it.
Back to the Future.
Love it. Just one.
Part one is the best. Part two and three I like, but part one is the best. You can't top it. And I will say Teen Wolf is in there.
Okay. You know how I feel about sequels.
Whatever.
Part two is my favorite.
Part two is your favorite favorite. Back to the Future.
Yeah, because I get the first movie again, plus a new story.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so part two is definitely my favorite, but I'll watch all three of them.
Okay. I love Spin City. I love Family Ties.
Spin City and Family Ties. We're getting TV shows.
Mm-hmm. I don't love Doc Hollywood. I will say that.
I do love Doc Hollywood.
You like Doc Hollywood?
I do.
It's not my favorite.
What's the one where the dude, like Michael J. Fox's like uncle or dad or grandfather like dies and they're like, the family's trying to like get the money. Do you remember that one?
Mm-mm.
You remember? Okay. I'll have to figure it out. But yeah. Okay. The Secret to My Success is good.
Secret of My Success is great.
Oh, Life of Mikey. I love that one too.
It might be for love or money.
I think that's the one it is, for love or money. But because Life at Mikey, do you remember that one?
I remember it, but I don't think I ever saw it.
It's like he is like a children talent agent, and he finds like this girl who's like a pickpocketer on the street, and she doesn't really have like a family or whatever, and he takes her in to help her be like the spokesperson for like something cookies. I can't remember what it was. And so she's like a street New York kid, so she's like,
she's tough.
She's tough.
Yeah.
And she's like
stealing all the food from Crafty.
She knows how to like, you know, play the game. So yeah. She definitely becomes, it's a good one. Life with Mikey. We'll have to look that one. I feel like, no, Life with Mikey.
I never saw it.
Well, he used to be like on a TV show as a kid. And that was like his claim to fame. But now he's like a child agent.
Okay.
It's good.
Yeah.
That's what I think of him with that one too.
Okay.
But I think it's for the love.
Did I mention Spin City?
You did.
I did.
You did.
Okay.
Are we talking about Michael J? Is that
I mean, we practically talked about him, but we'll get back to him.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about some people.
Okay.
Starting with our makeup artist. Like we said, Mr. Jeff Dawn was the makeup artist.
Okay.
And even after they finished principal photography of the movie, they had to come back and do a reshoot. They had to do a additional photography of him in the bathroom, transforming into the wolf.
Like at school? No, at home.
At home.
Okay.
So that main scene where he finally like becomes a wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jeff Dawn was working on another movie at the time. I think it was like To Live and Die in L.A. or something like that.
So like Tupac?
Kind of, yeah. Before Tupac. But they called him and said, hey, we got to do this. It's going to take all day. And he was doing a night shoot, and so he worked a 12-hour shift on that feature, showed up at set at 5:30 in the morning, and started working on Michael, and it was just an all-day scenario, because you see it in Fast Forward, basically, of, like, the nails growing out, the hair growing out, the eyes, like, bubbling, and they put, like, water packets underneath.
The makeup?
The prosthetic makeup.
Okay.
So it like started like moving and like they could fill it up and stuff.
That's
and you
smart.
See like the water dripping down. You
that's
know what
some
I mean?
Cool practical man.
That was all Jeff Dawn and his assistant, whose name I've forgotten.
Okay.
2 beers ago.
But thank you for your contribution to Teen Wolf.
I thought it was great. I thought the makeup was fantastic.
I thought they did the eyes very well. I think it still semi holds up. I'm not going to be like, it's trash. But yeah, no, they did a good job, especially for 1983 or 4.
I just thought that an explanation was long overdue.
He looks like a fucking Ewok. Like, it's so cute. Like, I just want to snuggle the dad.
That's funny. He does. He's an adorable werewolf dad. Mm-hmm. And he's got his gray werewolf all trimmed up. Meanwhile,
you know,
Michael J. Fox is overgrown.
He doesn't know because, you know, he's in puberty. But, like, when that scene was played for an audience for the first time, people laughed and hooted and hollered so loud when the dad turns, he opens the door, and the dad's
It's so funny because he's so disarming.
That they didn't, they couldn't hear the next lines because they were just like, oh shit. Like, it was too much for them. It's so funny. I love it though. He did a great job.
That's really funny. We'll talk about him. Another unsung hero that I want to talk about, because we know how bad the basketball is in this movie, is Michael J. Fox's stunt double.
Like, he had multiple stunt doubles.
He had one main.
He had...
I'm talking about the basketball stunt double.
He had a basketball stunt double, and he had a dancing stunt double.
Oh, nice.
Because apparently he can't do either. Like,
okay, I didn't know about the dancing. Moving his
body was not the business.
That's funny. Well, in March Madness basketball fashion, I looked up Mr. Jeff Glosser.
Okay, who's Jeff?
Jeff Glosser is a former point guard for the University of Loyola Marymount.
Oh, okay.
And he was Michael J. Fox's stunt double. So when you see the wolf playing very good basketball, that's Mr. Jeff Glosser.
Thank you, Jeff. When you
see the wolf doing very good acting, that's Mr. Michael J. Fox.
Yes, okay. They have their separate things.
Uh-huh, and you notice it quite a bit with the legs. Michael J. Fox has got skinny legs.
Yeah.
As well as the movements, you know. I don't see Michael J. Fox doing a power slide and dribbling the basketball simultaneously.
You don't?
I just don't see it.
I can see that.
He barely got the layup in.
He barely. Barely, yes.
He had to put some English on the ball just to get it to spin into the basket.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's bad.
That's why I said it's in the vault, just rotting away so that we never see.
But that's not to say that Michael J. Fox isn't athletic. Like, it's just not his sport.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen videos of him on an ice hockey rink, and it's like, holy shit.
If you asked me to play hockey, I would not be as good as playing basketball.
I would be as bad at hockey as Michael J. Fox is at basketball. So,
because you're not Canadian, eh?
We're not knocking him for his athleticism. It's just not his sport.
But I'm knocking everyone else because no one asked, can this motherfucking play basketball? Nobody, not one person in that room was like, can he?
Hey, that's a valid question. Because they asked Chris Columbus if he could dance before he did Stomp the Yard. He laughed and said, yeah.
Yeah, if they asked me if I could dance, I'd be like, what you got? You got some moves you don't think I can do?
Mm-hmm.
Bring it.
You want to get into the cast of this movie?
Let's do it.
All right.
Wait. Can I give you a fun fact?
Give me that fun fact.
Before we go. All right.
Why don't we drink beer on this podcast more often? Because this is fun.
I am feeling really, really good. Okay. So I got two fun facts for you. We're just going to hit them out right now. So this movie, when it dropped, it was number 2 in the box office.
Nice. Behind?
Back to the Future.
Fucking A.
And not only was it behind Back to the Future, people in other countries basically made this a Back to the Future sequel.
What?
So, when it was released in Italy,
Back to the Future Werewolf Edition?
It was renamed, like the character was renamed from Scott to Marty.
No, you monsters.
They were like, look, you remember this other movie you saw a couple months ago in the theater? Well, this is the same guy playing the same character in the same kind of
That's
town.
True. Like, because even in Back to the Future, he's like, I just don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I can take that kind of rejection.
Okay.
They say, get out of here, kid. You're no good. You got no talent.
I want to give you same.
Same. Okay.
Same, same.
Okay.
You ready? Same, same. They're both talking to their girlfriends about how they don't think they'll be good enough while they walk down the street of their small town.
That was also the trope of the 80s that they wrote girlfriends as the voice of reason.
Uh-huh. They both have a principal who's out to get them.
Yep. Mr. Strickland, you're a slacker.
You're a slacker. They both seek help from an older father figure.
Mm.
And they both find the power in their uniqueness, either being a wolf or being able to time travel.
Sure.
So if you think about it, a lot of people think that Teen Wolf is just a knockoff, but Teen Wolf was ready to be distributed
not
a
only
year
that,
before.
But like, you can't make the argument like that. It was clearly coincidence because they were filming at the same time. It's not like they were comparing scripts like, hey, what did you write? What did I write?
Yeah.
You know.
Like I said, this movie was done first.
The only link they have between the two of them is that they were filming at the same time, and they eventually had the same actor.
Another same-same?
Same-same.
Is they both have a bully who's after the girl that they want. Or a girl.
That's the 80s.
So this movie has a lot of parallels to Back to the Future, even more than that, but that's my same-same.
The difference is one of them is clearly intimidating and the other one is a little too pretty to be scary.
Yes, he is a little too pretty to be scary. He tries, though.
He tries.
At the bowling alley.
He's an asshole, for sure.
But yeah.
Like, Mick is an asshole. Played by Mr. Mark Arnold.
Yes.
And I'm not going to lie. He does a good job playing the villain.
80s asshole. Yeah. That's 80 teen asshole.
I don't know
asshole.
How many times he calls him a dork, calls him a freak, talks shit on somebody else. He's just angry all the time. Like, even when Stiles is in the locker room and he's trying to talk to, what's his name, Strawberry?
Who's Strawberry?
He's trying to solicit money from one of the guys on the other team.
A black dude?
Yeah, what's his name?
I don't remember. He was just like...
Lemonade! Lemonade, strawberry lemonade.
He's like, yeah, I got the NAACP, like fucking whatever it was.
So he's like, lemonade, can I talk to you real quick? And then Mick comes up and like picks him up by his shirt for no fucking reason other than the fact that he's in their locker room.
Get out. You're not supposed to be back here.
Talk shit on Chubby. He's like, shoot it, fat boy. All right, motherfucker. And he makes it.
And he makes it. Fuck that dude.
Fuck that dude. Drop dead.
All right, so who are we talking about?
Well, we just talked about Mick. So let's start with the staff, because I love the coach.
The coach?
He's hilarious.
Is trash. I would not want him to do anything for my children. His rules, though.
You know what he is? He's that weird uncle from the 80s.
Those
turned
rules,
basketball
though.
Coach.
Always get 12 hours of sleep. Never play cards with a man who has a first name. It's
for a
city.
Last name or something?
No,
like
first
that.
Name is a city.
Uh-huh.
And stay away from women who have daggers for tattoos.
Oh, my God.
And if you do that, everything is like fucking cream cheese, man.
I love how he's like, you guys could come to me for anything.
Anything.
If anytime you got a problem, even if it's personal. Mm-hmm. Scotty comes up to him, I got a problem. Well, what is it? As you can see, I'm a very busy man.
Dude,
you want a thigh or a leg?
If you look over, there's a sign that says... There's a sign that says no students. He don't want them to come in there, bitch.
But also, like, he's almost Styles all grown up to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when Rusty Thorne comes up to him and is like, hey, what the fuck is going on? He's like, hey, come on. Look at the other team's shoes. If we had shoes like that, who knows what our team could do.
What they would do.
That fat kid's got a great arm.
He is very, he's an interesting coach.
He's a slacker. Do you know? He's skating through life. But he's got some great one-liners.
He does great one-liners. He's a horrible coach.
100%.
He should not be working with children. But I'm glad he did because he was hilarious. Do you know who was originally up for that role?
Please don't say Christopher Lloyd.
I'm going to say James Hampton, who plays Scott's dad.
Really?
He initially went out for that role.
That happens a lot.
Yeah. And they were like, you know what?
When you're a good actor, you're a good actor.
You're giving me...
And they'll
me,
find you a role somewhere else.
Yeah, they're like, you're giving me nice
dad vibes.
Yeah, single dad vibes.
Yeah.
And so...
And there's a lot worse you can do than be Harold Howard. James Hampton was fantastic as the king of nuts and bolts.
He was a great dad.
He's a great dad.
I did read that when he asked Rod... Like, what is this character? Mm. He was like, he makes a bomb casserole. Like, that was like his.
Yeah.
And so I think that he truly embodies a dad who, like, I have my own business. Mm-hmm. I work hard. I'm trying to.
He's a humble hero.
You know, he lost his wife. We don't really know how, but mm-hmm. like, you know, she gone. And it's me and you, boo-boo, mm-hmm. and I'm making casseroles, and you're working here after school.
And he's teaching Scott in the most gracious and way. Teaching him how to treat a lady. Mm-hmm. He's treating him how to handle responsibility. He's treating him how to handle great authority. Mm-hmm. He's teaching him so many things, and he's not pushing it on him. He's not being that tyrant of a father.
Yeah.
He's teaching him at his own pace, and I think he's a great dad.
I definitely see you as him, just being a good dad.
You think I can make a great casserole?
You can make a great casserole. You know, I could see your kids' friends coming over to, like, wait for the kids, and you're out front playing basketball with them. Like,
sure,
that is totally. I was looking Absolutely. At him and I was like, that's Jason.
I'm not gonna have the pot belly.
No,
but I'll give, you know, the neighborhood kids some
and you're out life there advice. You're trying to get your son laid. By,
100%.
You know, finding out the deets on the girl who likes him 100%. In the neighborhood. And, you know, that's definitely you.
Okay.
In a good way.
At the same time, James Hampton knows how to turn it on and be intimidating simultaneously.
Oh, yes. And you also know how to do that. Making
Rusty Thorne piss his pants. I knew I can count on you, Rusty.
Yeah, that's definitely you as well. Just growling at a motherfucker. He hated the makeup. It took a long time to get his scenes because after takes, he would start having panic attacks.
And
start
trying to
take off the makeup and stuff. And they're like, no, bitch.
We're not done.
You know how long it takes us to do that?
Wait till you're wrapped, bitch. We got to do that. Fuck, that
so
sucks.
So he was not a
fan. Well, there's only one scene where he actually has it on.
Yes, because there was no way we were going to get more out of it.
It makes me wonder if there was other scenes where they, like, cut him out of the movie.
I didn't read that. But him and Michael J. Fox could not eat solid food, so everything was, like, blended or a smoothie.
Oh, had to drink everything while they were in makeup.
While they were in makeup.
That sucks.
Yeah, so that was sucky for them.
Sure. I mean, depending on how long the shoot is,
mm-hmm.
fast for as long as you can. Or eat right before you go into hair and makeup.
Which is probably in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. So by lunch and practically dinner, depending on what you're doing, it's blended as food.
Yeah. Well, our other second antagonist, Mr. Rusty Thorne, the principal, Thorne in my ass.
Yes.
Is played by Mr. James McCrell. Got a villain's name.
He's got a villain's face.
But he's such an ass bag. Like, he's got a villain's face. Yeah, you had a crush on a woman and she didn't want you. Let it go, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Also, she passed away.
Like, we're
Leave her this. Son alone.
It's giving me Game of Thrones vibes, mm-hmm. bitch. It's giving me
Game A little of bit. A little so, bit.
I totally like his character because, you know, you need an 80s teacher villain of some sort, you know.
Sure.
Semi Fast Times kind of shit or
Back you to the Future. Dick.
So he wrote a review on this movie for Rotten Tomatoes.
James McCrell? Mm-hmm. What the fuck?
And he basically said that after 40 years of working in the industry, no matter where he goes in the world, the thing that people remember him for is peeing his pants in Teen Wolf.
Everybody gets a scene.
He said, I love it. I love the fans. I love the people who got me this job. I love the people good. Who love this movie.
I'm glad it was a good review.
It was a good review.
Okay.
So, yeah. I've never seen an actor review their own movie, but there you go.
Your job is to be a champion for the movie no matter what it is. That's part of being hired for it. If they hire me for the next, you know, DC movie, I'm going to do the best I can while I'm on set, and then I'm going to promote the shit out of the movie while I'm off set.
But what about if they give you a script and it's different from what the end outcome is and you're not happy with the end outcome?
Well, that's your responsibility to vet the filmmakers, vet the studio. Okay. And if you are an employee of the film as an actor, unless you're a producer, unless you have final cut, it's not your movie.
I would say very vague things like, yep, it's a movie. Or like, I did that.
If
like,
they deliberately mislead you, that's a different story.
Yeah. But, I mean, we've seen that scripts have changed drastically from when the actor signed on and got a script to the point of it being consumed by the public.
That's true, but that's the filtration process of filmmaking. Mm-hmm. This, from script to opening night, there's so many things that happen. There's so many road bumps that force the story to change.
Yeah.
Not in anybody's hands. That is in fate's hands. That's in Caligula's hands.
Okay.
The goddess of cinema.
Of cinema.
That's in her hands. We can't do anything about that. You got to keep the film moving forward and get it to the finish line however you can.
I mean,
somebody calls and says they can't be there today and it's the only day that you can shoot, you rewrite the script and you make it work. Oh my God, you want to hear something funny?
No.
Ashley is on her way, but she has to drop off casserole dishes at the stylist.
Because she looks like she can make a good casserole.
Oh, yes, she does.
I love her.
And okay. She can. Well, we'll knock this out fairly quick. I'm going to stop drinking because I'm fucking up my words. I feel good.
I feel good.
Fucking Heineken.
I'm
going
to sip this little bit and then I'm going to fill it right back up.
Oh my God.
Okay. Are we done? Who are we?
Chubby Yubby.
Okay. Before we get to our chubby wubby wubby. So do you want to know the star of the movie?
Who's the star of the movie?
Or do you want to know the AKAs?
I want to know the star of the movie.
The star of the movie is the house.
The house?
His house.
Scott Howard's house. Okay.
Scott Howard's house. You may know this house because it is the same house as young Lorraine's house in Back to the Future.
No shit.
So when they started doing scouting for Back to the Future, they scouted the same fucking neighborhood as Teen Wolf.
They were both shooting down the street from each other.
So they were shooting down the street from each other. And this house, I'm not going to give you the address, but it's Bushnell Avenue in South Pasadena, California. And so this house is about...
I love that town. It's so cute.
It is very cute. And the houses are... They're adorable.
They're craftsmen.
They're really American craftsmen's house.
Hill Valley.
It is Hill Valley. So yeah, this is the George McFly street. It's the same street that George lives on, Lorraine lives on, and Biff lives on this exact same street.
Biff's house is a little fucked up in part two.
It's like about three houses down from Lorraine's, but okay. This house is 7,750 square feet lot.
Damn!
It is 4 bedrooms and 2.5 baths. So if you wanted to buy it today, you're going to have to come up with over $2.7 million.
That's a decent sized lot.
Mm-hmm. So I have
in
not,
Los Angeles.
I have not gone down this street, which I think I will do in the near future, because I love
it. Can I come?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you're about to be off soonish. We should definitely go do that.
Right.
So that is the real star of this motherfucking
movie. I like that. I still want to hear the AKAs, so hit me with them.
Oh my God. Okay. So the AKAs, which
Back
also,
to the Future Part Wolf.
AKAs, also known as, are the titles of this movie all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first one, if we got in our drunken plane and we drove to 1985 in Brazil, this is probably the best one. This movie was called The Boy from the Future.
Oh my God.
Like I said.
They almost called it The Wolf from the Future.
But like I said, a lot of places wanted to capitalize.
Sure.
On Back to the Future.
Absolutely.
In Denmark, it was called Teen Wolf. He's just a hair better.
Oh my God. I like that. That's not bad.
Yeah. They people play some.
They should have used that for part two with Jason Bateman.
I know. Just instead of like 2-T-O-O. Come on. So in Finland, it was called Teen Wolf or Werewolf in Adolescence.
Okay.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
In Italy, the country that changed his name from Scott to Marty, they call it Desire to Win.
Desire to Win. Hell yeah. Right. I'll take it.
I think that's pretty good. And lastly, in Spain, it's called From Hair to Chest.
Ew.
Yeah.
Oh, what the hell is that?
Yeah, that longest, thick-ass fucking hair he just like pulled off his chest. Yeah, so those are some of the AKAs around the world.
That serves him right for snooping around in Chubby's locker.
I think I do like The Boy from the Future. I think that's hilarious.
It's funny, for sure.
So there's 4 Back to the Future.
Oh my God.
After he went back He fixed his life with his parents. He became a wolf. And then he went back to the future.
I mean, he has problems. He doesn't need this one.
He don't need this one. There was no skateboarding in this
one. There's no skateboarding in this
one. But there is van surfing.
There was van surfing. Mm-hmm. What would you take, skateboarding or van surfing?
Probably the skateboarding. I love the idea of just holding on to like a car.
The back of a car?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What about you?
I mean, being that I own an 85 Ford Ranger,
you do?
I would love to ride on the back of an 85 Ford Ranger the way that he does at the beginning of the movie. The beginning of Back to the Future.
Can we just tell everybody what your truck, how awesome your truck is?
My truck is awesome. I love my truck.
And what makes your truck so special?
Oh, you're talking about the famous part of my truck?
Yes.
Yes. My truck is the truck in Jin, the BTS singer's music video, The Astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
And you might get a glimpse of your boy behind the wheel.
You do get to see him. Back of his head. That's him, though. He's driving that truck.
So that was fun. I was not originally cast in that music video. I was the on-set dresser, and the director saw me offloading my kit from my truck, getting ready to shoot for the day, and he told the production designer, I don't want your picture car, I want that truck.
Talk
to that guy and ask him if we can use his truck instead of the car that you rented.
You were just coming to do fucking set decks.
I was just coming there for set deck. Turned out to be, you know, an extra day of work, and it was a fun experience. Jin is incredibly nice.
He is so beautiful. I wish I had his skin. Fuck! He's so beautiful. His hair, I don't want to talk about it, but yes. If 20 years ago, your girl would have been a huge ass fuck.
You would have been a huge BTS yes. Army fan?
Yes.
I love
I
that.
Mean, because I was like, you know, teetering between NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
Working on the show has turned me into a bit of a fan.
Yeah, they're great. Okay. I just wanted to throw that out there because you're like fancy.
I love my truck.
I know you do. I know you love your truck. All right. So let's go. Who are we talking about?
We got to talk about Mr. Mark Holton, mm-hmm. who plays Chubby.
Chub Chubs.
Yeah, I love him. I love him in this. I love him in Pee-wee Herman's Big Adventure. Like, yep. I always love to see him.
Mm-hmm.
He was great in the 80s. He did a lot of movies in the 80s. This was one of them. And two of my favorite scenes involve him. One is during the basketball scenes when he throws his fantastic hook shot and it comes in. And he's just
yeah.
Go fuck yourself, Mick. But also, when they win in the end, and
they're gonna win,
they pick up Chubby, and his eyes get fucking huge. He's like, "Oh my god!"
This is what it feels like to be light
up over their arms.
Yes,
it's the happiest I've ever seen anybody. Like, I don't think that Mark Holton had
he
to
was
do
making
a lot
them
of
shots,
like, acting
though.
To pull that off.
He was making them shots. Yeah.
But he also runs to Michael J. Fox. He's like, yeah! I love it.
Because we're going to win in the end.
He got them thick thighs, no felonies. Killing it.
He said thick thighs, no felonies. Yeah. I mean, I think of him as
Pee-wee. Francis.
Yeah.
Pee-wee. Francis and Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
So, definitely. He looks a lot different in the today. I don't think if I were to see him, I would.
He's got the stash going.
He's got the stash. He's playing.
He got
cop.
The cop stash.
Oh, he's still well.
Still well.
He's
angel.
Older.
Yes, he
still
is.
Still well. Angel.
Yes, he is.
Dang, I would have never
You're
even.
You're gonna lose.
You remember me? You're mm-hmm. gonna. And then it's just like, oh.
Evelyn, I'm sorry, but I'm gonna have to kill your son.
True.
Dude, death. We should have ordered pizza. Like, beer goes really well. I'm going to order some pizza while we talk about Miss Lori Griffin. You know who Lori Griffin is?
Is that that bitch?
Pamela Wells.
She is.
She's so demanding.
She is such a good 80s bitch. Like, I feel like she could have been part of Heather's.
Oh, she could have been a Heather. For sure.
Like, if they all went to school, they either would have been, like, frenemies or, like, best friends. Like,
yes, I agree.
That's what she gives me. But I do feel like this is probably her biggest movie that she was in. I don't really have much fun facts about her. I don't know if she
I don't know if you noticed, but these days I don't do a whole lot of fun facts or behind-the-scenes stuff. I talk about their character.
I get that. That's my job. I'm the fun fact bitch.
Yeah. And that being said, I hated her.
She did her job.
She was beautiful, and I hated her.
Did you know her?
She had her hair coiffed and teased like you do in 1985. She wore the sweater that just barely falls off your shoulder.
She had her Teen Wolf shirt.
Right? She tried to entice Scott inside the dressing room and succeeded. I hated how...
Oh, that's another thing for Back to the Future.
Droopy her panties were.
That's another Back to the Future thing.
What's that?
A teen girl throwing herself at Michael J. Fox.
That's true. Except she wasn't trying to liquor him up this time.
No. She's like, oh! You spit it out.
Is it wrong that it pisses me off when you do a movie and the girl's panties are too big for him? Like, if you're going to shoot a sexy lingerie scene, put her in the right underwear.
I think it was
the fact that she had no booty.
I wasn't even going to say that, but I was going to say just the 80s look.
Okay.
Of like the high-waisted panties with the flat booty was the thing.
But like there's so much extra fabric down below.
Was less or her panties were too big. I'll get you that. I'll give you that.
There was something wrong with...
She was hot. She definitely was.
I want to talk to Wardrobe about this.
Do you know them?
No.
Wardrobe, hi. Smaller, tighter panties. Please, and thank you.
We got to do something about it. Like, good. Great on the waist. Terrible in the ass. Let's make some alterations.
She did a good job of being a horrible person.
She did a great job of being a horrible person. She is the quintessential girl who's looking for the BBD, the bigger, better deal.
Yeah.
You know, when Mick is on top, she's all about Mick. Mm-hmm. When Teen Wolf, TW, is on top, she's like, bye, Mick. I'm going to go hang out with TW.
She's trying to make him jealous.
She's like, you know what she's like? She's like a talent agent. She doesn't represent talent. She represents temperature, and you're not hot right now. That's what she is. Because at the end, when Scott blows her off to go with Boof, Mick comes up right behind him and is like, let's blow out of here. And she's like, drop dead.
Yeah.
You're cold. You're yesterday's news.
Well, you know what, bitch? You're a bitch.
She is. And we talked about this a little bit earlier, but I would argue Boof is more attractive.
Yeah.
In every way. I know she got the mom haircut. She got the 80s mom haircut.
I mean, no, the 80s mom haircut gives me more of the bitch because it's like big.
Mm.
She had the cute little like, you know, Molly Ringwald hair.
Okay. Yeah. All I'm saying is she definitely has a better body. She has a better personality.
Better personality.
She has more sexuality.
And you know when you're going to get something with her. Scott
inside that closet, minus the fingernails, is where he fucked up. Like, he couldn't control the wolf in him.
That's just because he got some titties in his face.
She bring the dog out of him.
He was howling. So true.
She walks away. You see how sensual she can be.
She is, yeah.
Like, minus the fact that she's got claw marks from Freddy Krueger on her back.
Look, she wasn't ready for that.
She wasn't ready. It was totally unexpected.
She just thought she was going to make out with the dude down the street that she's been wanting to make out with forever. And he scratched the shit out of her favorite sweater. And like, she bleed a little bit. Uh-huh. So like,
broke the skin. You can be a biter, but don't break the skin.
Don't break the skin. That's not attractive. Unless you let them feel you.
Don't hurt them. It's different.
Because I would be like, damn, motherfucker, we done. Right. We wouldn't have made it 7 minutes.
No, that's a turn off. Mm-hmm. Get them there and then pull back. Bring them on back. It's a tease, gentlemen.
Tell them.
Gentlemen, come on. Your job is to elevate the experience, not to fuck it up.
Don't fuck it up. And that's why Styles was a great wingman, because he was just like...
always an advocate.
I mean, he made sure that his homie got the girl he really wanted to do something. It was just that Boone.
Boof.
Boof. Boone.
Boone.
Boone's farm. Yeah. Boof was just like...
Well, she lied.
She did lie.
But, like, rightfully so, because... you know what?
I think
the movie would have been over had he ended up in the closet with Pamela Wells.
She would have
starfished his ass.
She would have.
She looks like a lazy lay.
It's a pillow princess?
Yes, 100%.
And so, yes, she was helping him out so that at least that even if we don't make out, I can make it seem like we made out so that you don't look like a fucking joke.
But I'll tell you something. Lazy lays don't get a second phone call.
No, if I got to do all the work, then what's the point of us doing this?
I'm saying,
I could have did it by myself at home.
I don't mind being on top 100% of the time, but don't just lay there. Get the hell out of here. Be there with me. Enjoy the experience. All right, so we got two people left to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
And we're talking right now about Mr. Jerry Levine. Styles. He's my favorite character.
Wanted to put on like a shirt that had like a funny scene. I had one that said Sips Happens.
You don't have an obnoxious
shirt. Movie. No,
I don't. He takes it as such a compliment.
I don't have
nice styles, nice shirt. Oh, thank you.
Life sucks and then you die. I don't have any of those. I just have my Hands Across America shirt that my friend bought me for her birthday. And since we already did Us, I couldn't wear it for that. So here we are. But Styles,
you wear it well.
Thank you. Styles is a great character.
He's a great character.
Definitely somebody I would have wanted to date. Yeah, he's got the weed hidden in the fucking garage.
Well, he couldn't find it. It's his older brother's weed.
That's why you need...
He couldn't find it. He was looking for it, and then Scott sniffed it out.
I definitely would have looked and pinched some off of some of these nugs so that we could make this really thin joint. Like, that would have definitely been me. I don't know if I would surf.
You wouldn't...
Here's the
van
thing.
Van surf?
Here's the thing. A point in my life was not scared of much, and I broke many a bones, like more than one bone, like at least 3-4 bones.
Really?
In my life.
I ain't never broken a bone.
So the older I got, the more cautious I got. Like, bitch, this body is not the best. I've broken this wrist 3 times. I've broken this finger. I've broken a tailbone.
Mine cracks, but it doesn't break.
Yeah. Sometimes my wrist dislocates. And it's looking like the worst. Anyway, so like, I would have been driving the van, but maybe not necessarily on top of the van.
Okay, I'll be on top of the van.
But you know who was on top of the van?
Who was on top of the van?
Jerry. That was him.
That was really him?
That was no stunt driver.
Yes.
He had a wire that went through the van, through his leg, and around his face.
Let's go.
And when you know it, you see it. You see kind of how he's just like trying to have fun. But you see that one leg, it looks like his right leg, is stable.
It's,
like
it's holding, clamped down.
It's clamped down.
Okay.
There. So that's really him. Michael J. Fox, on the other hand, was like,
bitch, let the stunt person do that.
I got family ties in 2 weeks. Like, we're done.
I got responsibility.
Yeah, I got responsibility. I can't
people
be in a cast.
Depending on me.
So,
which I get. Like, if he gets injured, he puts a lot of people out of work.
Mm-hmm. They're like, we already took 6 weeks off for this pregnant bitch.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, he gets injured, that's roughly 200 people that don't have a job.
Yeah, so for a couple weeks until he heals enough for us to cover that cast and keep it going. So
pull a Joey from Friends. Yeah.
But Jerry, on the other hand, he was not on a hit TV show, so they didn't give us two shits, and they didn't give him a stunt double, and they were like,
"Oh, hey, but like, did he get injured? Did you die? No."
If I was the actor and they asked me to do it, I would.
Yeah.
But just a teenager going on top of a van, no.
Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not pulling some Jason Bourne shit where I'm jumping off of one building and then jumping through a window in the next building. But, you know, if I got to take a punch, let's go.
Do you know how old Styles was?
How old is he?
In making this movie. Just give me how old you think he is.
29.
He is 27 years old.
Okay. I knew you were going to go older, so.
Yes. Okay. Michael J. Fox, do you know how old you think he was?
19.
23.
Shit.
Chubby.
23.
26.
Damn.
Mick.
27.
27! So there were no really teens. I don't know how much...
Back then, they didn't cast teens.
I don't know how old the girls were.
Mm.
They didn't tell me, but yeah. The men...
I mean, I wouldn't say even back then. Like, even nowadays, you can cast a 30-year-old to play an 18-year-old if it's the right 30-year-old.
It's because of child labor laws.
Child labor laws. There's so many castings where it's like 18 to play younger.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that stands for.
I know I'm like digging really deep into like old history, but this one's for your mama. So Patty Duke from the Patty Duke Show from The Miracle Worker, she had a TV show where she played two identical cousins. So she played cousins that were the same back in the 60s. And the reason why they filmed it in New York was because they had like lax child labor laws, and they didn't move it here to California until she was 18.
Oh shit.
Yeah, because it costs more. It takes more time to fucking have children, real children.
It absolutely does. Like at work, we.
I know you.
They say our kids turn into a pumpkin at this time. So that means we have this much time to finish our scenes. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple.
So you get their scenes done first so you can get them out of there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it all depends on the scheduling, but that's our job, you know? And most of the time we knock it out of the park. I will say the crew on Abbott is top shelf. They do their job. They do it well. We have a lot of fun, but we knock it out.
Every person I have met that has been on the show in front of the cameras and behind the cameras are so professional and have done such great work.
You know what it is? They all understand the age-old saying of there's a time to have fun and there's a time to be serious. And when it's time to be serious, they get on the ball.
Yep. Because you guys get out and the sun's still out. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Not every... Damn near all TV shows don't have that ability.
No, you guys are a very rare breed.
Yeah, for sure.
And as your number one fan, I appreciate all the work that you do. And thank not you. Just you, but all of the cast and crew. Thank you, Abbott Elementary, for making my weeks amazing. I look forward. During the strike, the only thing besides Stranger Things that I needed to come back was Abbott Elementary. I was like, what's going to happen?
And we did. And season you did. 3, Abbott on Abbott on Abbott.
Abbott on Abbott on Abbott, and I've been loving it.
We're coming back quick for season 4.
Hey.
It's going to be great.
Say, when I say this, you say went well. This.
Went well.
This.
Went well.
Thank you.
She did so great. She was such a privilege to have on set.
That was a great episode. Those were great episodes. I love Abbott. I can't even, and not just because Jason and Smashley are working on the show. It's just a great show. Anyway.
So funny.
I just wanted to
Why are you getting me to do these things? I've been drinking.
That's why I get you to do them. All right. You got any more on Jerry?
No. Let's talk about the man of the hour, Mr. Michael J. Fox.
MJF?
Do you call Michael him? J. Fox, yes.
Would you call him like Mike J., Mike Fox? Mike? Do you think Mike's a good... It feels weird.
I'd call him Fox.
I would call him J.
Fox. I'd give him a good... What does the J stand for? I don't even know.
Google. What the... And it better not be J. I'll be so mad.
I think it's Jeffrey or something of that nature.
So there was already a Michael Fox, and he was like, all right, let me...
I don't know. But I would probably give him a nickname of, like, Fox. Fox, what's happening, man? How you feeling?
I call him J. Fox.
Yeah. J. Fox is pretty good, too.
Okay. It says that his name is Michael Andrew Fox.
Where'd the J come from?
I don't know.
It's Jason now.
I don't know.
Because when people ask Canadian me, like, what career I would like to have or what actors I see myself modeling after, it is Michael J. Fox
and Tom Cruise,
and Sylvester Stallone.
You want, yeah, because of the boxing. That makes all these gentlemen make so much sense.
That's like what I would love my career to form into.
I'm going to say, what does the fucking J stand for?
It's a stage name. Why? How did I not know?
Yeah, no, we can't go on until. It says the J doesn't really stand for anything.
I knew it! It stands for Jason.
Michael's real.
The second coming.
Middle name is Andrew. So Jay was just like,
hey, it's a good letter to have at the front of your name.
I literally never even thought about what it stood for. And it stands for nothing. That is fucking.
You stands got, for Jason.
You got
here
us.
Now.
Michael Jason Fox. You got us. You got us. I never even thought about it. That's bananas. Okay. Fucking Michael J. How do you do this like that?
We love him.
Why was it so Michael much. A. Fox?
It doesn't roll off the tongue the same way. You got to have the J in there. It's that swoosh.
The J. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Whatever.
Absolutely.
It's the longest con. This motherfucker. He got us.
Gotcha, bitch.
You got us. It's been 40 years of you conning me with this fucking shit.
Give me some more. I'm going to drink to that.
I never even thought of what it could stand for.
So, you guys all know Michael J. Fox. You know what he's been in. You've seen Back to the Future. Some of you have seen Family Ties. Some of you younger cats haven't. Might I recommend it? I'm sure it's streaming somewhere.
I want to say Paramount or...
Probably. Watch For Love of Money. Watch Secret of My Success. Watch Spin City. Watch the episode of Scrubs that he's in, because it's fantastic.
Watch his Life with Mikey.
Yes. Watch his Apple documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
God. Watch his episodes on Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's fucking hilarious as well.
And follow him on Instagram, because we love him. Do you?
I do. I know you do. I do. And I can't believe that this is our first movie of his and not Back to the Future.
Is this our first movie from Michael J. Fox? Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Otherwise, I would have got down to what the J stood for. I didn't know.
I didn't think that this was our first movie of his.
It is. Wow. So our next one will be
That one leaves of the me Back dumbfounded because I would have done so much more research on Michael J. Fox. But that being said, I got enough knowledge about him up here in the first place.
What you got?
Well, the fact that he was shooting this on a low budget while they were filming Back to the Future down the street with Eric Stoltz. And he, like you said, was in between family ties. They shot for 6 weeks with Eric Stoltz, and that didn't work out so well. So when they went on winter break from Family Ties is when they told him about Back to the Future. They straight up told him, hey, we didn't bring this up to you before because the fact of the matter is we didn't want to lose you. You were unavailable, and that's what we told them, but they want you for this movie. And my man knocked it out. Day shoots on Family Ties, night shoots on Back to the Future, after he had just finished this movie. And he does a hell of a job in this movie.
He picked this movie because, like I said, the mama on Family Ties became pregnant. And so she was like, look, that's girl, I don't want to do this. I'll drink some of it.
It's fine.
And so he was kind of upset once he started doing this movie because he also hated the makeup. This isn't, he doesn't speak fondly of this movie or often of this movie. And I think it has to do with the makeup and the time.
The experience.
The experience. It was too much. Very quickly, too much. And he felt like, oh my God, I can't believe Steven Spielberg is filming a movie like down the street or in my house. Like, and really wanted to be a part of it. So when it did open up and he found out about it, he jumped at the chance.
Of course.
To be in it, which catapulted this movie.
The fact that he was willing to do double shifts, double 12-hour shifts, which means no sleep whatsoever.
But if Steven Spielberg asked me to do anything, I kind of would have done it.
I don't know if you watched the Oscars this past...
I did!
That was funny.
I do want to say...
Homegirl from SNL, I always forget her name.
I do want to say that this year, I did not give a fuck about anybody at work, and I turned the sound on so that we could watch Ryan Gosling sing and...
I Am Ken?
Yeah.
Or and I'm Just Ken?
I'm Just Ken, and we got to see that, and then I just eventually just kept it on, and we watched everything. So I did watch it, and Steven Spielberg was hilarious.
Okay. I loved that. She's like, and who? Well, then who am I sending my tasteful nudes to? <He's> Steven's like, right here.
Me.
You're welcome.
Another thing that the studio did was that they wanted Scott's character to look more like Spicoli. So they wanted, like, you know, the Vans and the t-shirt and the Hawaiian
Scott's
t-shirt.
Scott's character or Styles?
Yes. No. Which would make more sense to me as Styles being more.
Yeah.
But Fast Times was a huge hit. And that character became an overwhelming huge hit of the show.
Yeah.
Of the movie. So they decided that maybe that's what Scott should be like. Michael J. Fox is the one who was like, no, he's
this character is insecure. He's not going to dress like that.
He's supposed to be like the average kid.
Yeah.
The Family Ties, the Back to the Future.
Absolutely.
And so
you got to associate with him. If he's already a winner, then he's got nothing to strive for.
Hey, he's not ordering pizzas in the middle of class wearing Vans, bitch. No. He's not having dreams
taking his shirt off in the burger joint.
He's not having dreams of being the number one surfer. Like, none of that shit is, like, you know, his thing. So yeah. He fought for that. And thank God he did, because
we
got a better character.
I'm glad he did, because that was the right choice. Whew, I have been drinking.
We have.
I'm out.
You're out?
I'm out.
I am. Oh, we're so good. I have one more. Look at us.
Killing it.
Killing it. Okay, so Michael J.
Fox. I'm not ready for this scene.
Michael J. Fox's jersey was sold to a Beverly Hills pawn shop. How much do you think that it sold for?
$1 million.
No, but keep going.
Like, when was it sold?
You know, it did not give me a date.
Okay, that matters.
That does matter.
So, if it was...
And it's a Beverly Hills pawn shop.
Beverly Hills pawn shop. This is after the movie came out, I'm assuming?
I'm assuming.
$10K.
It was sold for $30,000.
Yeah.
So, someone has it out there, and you can probably pay 30 plus to get the... What are they, Badgers?
They're the Beavers,
the Beavers. Beavers, jersey.
That's fantastic.
I don't know where.
If I was a millionaire, I'd probably do it.
I mean, if I was a millionaire, there's so many things I would buy. Like, so many.
Would you buy Judy Garland's ruby slippers?
Yes. I would buy that. I would buy Thor's hammer.
Buy the hammer of Thor.
Yeah.
Great Odin's raven.
I'm thinking maybe, I know that Debbie Reynolds at one point had the...
She had the ruby slippers.
She did, but she had the Singing in the Rain, like, mm-hmm.
She collected rain so jackets. Many things.
I'd probably do one of those. Okay. But, like, what would you do?
I don't know. I'd probably buy famous cars. John Wick's Mustang.
Mm.
You know?
I could see that.
I would say...
You did say you want a Mustang.
Steve McQueen's Mustang from Bullet.
And that's what I was thinking.
I've already taken a picture in front of that car, which is a replica because the actual car no longer exists. And it's owned by his son. So
right,
Chad
right,
McQueen
right.
has that car and it belongs with Chad McQueen.
But he dies and it goes up for auction and you...
I don't want him... I mean... I hope he lives a long time.
I mean, yeah, he's older than us.
He's
in his 60s. Yeah, he's older than us.
So he's Ralph Macchio's age.
Yeah, he's getting older.
You know, well, we talked about it.
Right.
We talked about it in the Karate Kid episode. I would want Rocky's boxing gloves.
Ooh.
I would want Apollo Creed's boxing shorts. His trunks.
Where are Will Smith's Men in Black glasses?
Mm,
that's what I want.
I'd make those look good.
I'd make them look good. So, yeah, those are... I'm going to start thinking of, like...
Little things that you would like to own?
Little things that I would like to own.
Okay, I got you.
Anything from this movie you would own? That van. The Teen Wolf van. That's what I want.
Well, I'd love the jersey.
The jersey?
I'd love to have the jersey.
We'll come up with $30K, bitch, yeah. And it's yours. Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm out. I'm done. Right. We're done. We're here.
We won in the end, as we always do.
We're going to win in the end. Okay, so I am... We did it.
Zenobia. So you're drunk too.
I am kind
of. Okay, that makes me happy.
We
got pizza on the way, people.
Oh, I
so
forgot.
We gotta wrap this up in the next 6 minutes.
Okay. Well, we did it. We made it through Teen Wolf, another 1980s staple classic, and 1985, which is like the year of the awesome movies. And
it really is.
If you want to give us any suggestions for other movies we do or any drinks that you want us to feature and give you some history on.
Yeah. Tell us what movies you want us to cover. And if we like them, we'll do them.
Yeah. I'll be like, I like that movie. And mm-hmm. we're on it. So please email us at lightscameracocktailnos.
Get that fucking S out of there.
At gmail.com. We'll read them. We will take your suggestions.
Slide into them DMs.
Into the DMs.
Lights, Camera, Cocktails podcast.
Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, all the things with the things. Twitter? No.
TikTok.
Tick
yeah,
with
we're
the
not
talk.
So we don't really X.
Oh my God, I need to stop drinking. I'm losing it. So yeah, so follow us on the Tick and the Talk and the Instagram. We put up our videos of us getting drunk. You're going to see
so
this.
So drunk.
This drunkness.
Oh my God. I'm going to put up that video of me spinning the basketball while you're peeing.
Please do. I was trying to pee as fast as I could. Please get ready for next time.
Yeah, we got a great episode. Oh, a fucking class. If you haven't seen this movie, you did not have a childhood.
Where were you born if you did not know what this movie is?
Under a rock.
Did you have a TV? So, I do not have any March Madness in the sense of basketball, but I do have a little bit of madness in my movie for this month's pick. So, here we go on the scene.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I think you have the first line.
I do.
I'm fucking drunk. I wish I wasn't drunk because I love this character so much.
He's kind of drunk.
I wish I would have been able to do it justice.
You do. But here we go because we got pizza coming.
Okay.
So... Where did they come from?
From Loopaland.
Loopaland? There's no such place.
Excuse me, my dear lady.
Mr. Wonka, I am a teacher of geography.
Oh, so you know all about it. What a horrible country it is. Nothing but desolate wastes and fierce beasts. The poor little Loompa Loompas were so small and helpless that they just get gobbled up left and right. Snoz Wangler will eat 10 of them for breakfast. Think nothing of it. So I said, come live with me in peace and safety. Away from all the Wang Doodlers and Snoz Wanglers and disgusting vermicious canids.
Vermicious canids? I just can't. That's just the
last. Never said of such a sauce. Such a sauce.
Well, if you don't know what that is, I don't know what to tell you.
Like, honestly, such a good movie.
Such a good movie.
Sticking with the OG.
We did it. We got more Jello shots. We got pizza and beer.
We got pizza and beer. All right, you guys, we are out of here. We are thoroughly drunk. We will see you next episode on Lights, Camera, Cocktails.
Always get 12 hours of sleep. Never play cards with a man who has the first name of a city. And never trust a woman who has a dagger as a tattoo. And if you do that, it's all cottage cheese, man.
Rules to live by.
Rules to live by.